Welcome to the Ultimate Guide to Memory Control. Gary Cox is recognized as one of the nation's top success coaches who specializes in getting his listeners results. Just some who have taken advantage of Gary's life-changing techniques include athletes, celebrities, small companies, and Fortune 500 companies. Perhaps you've seen him featured in national magazines or on national talk shows. In this program, Gary intends to share with you how to dramatically increase your memory power. The benefits of having a better memory are endless. Whether you're a student, part of the working world, a stay-at-home mom, a retiree, or anybody else, you're going to gain benefits from this course that will affect your everyday life. Gary will be convincing you that there really is no such thing as having a bad memory. Well, let's get started by listening to Gary Cox.
Hi, this is Gary Cox. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for two things. One, for the financial investment that you've made in this program, and perhaps second, the most important, the investment of your time. Now, we have a motto at our company. It's this: we are not going to give you your money's worth, we're going to give you more than your money's worth. You know, and by keeping that motto in our minds, it helps us to appreciate that we want to really make sure that we give you our best. And I'm going to do that today. So I'm really excited about sharing this knowledge with you, so let's get started. You know, one thing that you're going to hear about in this program and all the other peak performance programs that I offer is the word conditioning. Conditioning is basically what we amount to. We are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced in life from the time that we were born to this very moment right now. And we've been conditioned or programmed, if you will, by such things like religion, our cultural background, where we were born, maybe our parents, teachers, newspapers, television, and all these different things. And these are the things that are responsible in many cases for what we do in life, even how we think or feel about other things or other people, and even how we feel about ourselves. Now, unfortunately, society has conditioned us to believe a lot of things that really are not true. So as we go through this program, we're going to talk about how conditioning has affected how we think about memory, memory loss, and the other things that society has caused us to believe that really are not true. And a lot of times when we think that we have a bad memory, well, it's not really our fault for thinking that way. It's our conditioning. And we're going to talk a lot later on about what we mean. Well, let's now take some time and talk about this word conditioning. Well, have you ever been told or ever heard that you only use 10% of your brain? You know, some people even brag about it. Yeah, hey, I use 10% of my brain. Well, the truth of the matter is that really isn't true. It's not the case. You see, we use 100% of our brain, but we don't use it to the fullest capacity. Now, let's take a look at the advantages and the disadvantages of believing both things. For instance, if we believe that we only use 10% of our brains, or even less than that, when we start to forget something or have a memory problem, if you will, many times we'll want to blame it on the what? On the brain. Well, no wonder I forget, I only use 10% of my brain. And we'll have a tendency to blame it on something else, like the brain. Now, if we believe, on the other hand, that we use 100% of our brain, but we don't use it to the fullest capacity, what this tells us is, hey, I can use more, I can do more, but all I have to do is condition myself to keep improving. And that's what this program is going to be about. I think, too, that one of the most popular things that we've heard is that as we grow older, what happens? We've heard that our memory gets worse or diminishes with age. And it's obvious why people would believe that. They're always forgetting things. And you know, you don't even have to be old to forget either, do you? And with regards to forgetting things, I'm sure we've all done certain things that we now look back that were really stupid or dumb because we've all forgotten so many things so often. And I think that we would all easily admit that by having a better memory, it would certainly help us to function more confidently. Let me share with you an interesting experience. Now, this happened to me at the time that I wanted to take helicopter lessons. I had found an individual who was pretty local to the area, so I decided to talk to him and find out what would be involved in learning to fly a helicopter. So I went to him, and as you know, like most business people, they hand you a business card, and he did. So he hands me this business card, and I take a look at it, then I put it in my shirt pocket. Well, about 2 minutes later, he decides he'd take me and put me in the helicopter. Now, we don't go flying. He just shows me the helicopter, and he lets me push buttons, and I'm excited. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. So after he shows me little things about the helicopter, he asks me if I would like to go into his office, and I say, sure. So we walk into his office, and you're not going to believe this. Take guess what he does. He hands me what? Another business card. Now, you can only imagine what's going on in my head. Wait a minute here. This guy just gave me a business card less than 10 minutes ago, and I'm coming to him to learn to fly helicopters? I'm getting a little nervous about this. So I didn't bother telling him that he'd already given me a business card. I just took that one, looked at it, and put it in my pocket too. Well, let's see what else is going to happen. We keep talking, and then he comes up with some figures, how much it's going to cost and so on. Now it's time for me to leave. Take a guess what happens. You guessed it. He hands me what? Another business card. Business card number 3. Now my question to you is, would you take helicopter lessons from this guy? I didn't. And unfortunately for him, I based my decision on this experience. And maybe I was being a little judgmental, but what I thought about is, hey, if this guy forgot something simple like just giving me 3 business cards in the last 15 minutes or so, maybe he's going to forget to teach me some really important emergency procedures. You know what I mean? So it lost him, unfortunately, more than $10,000. Anyway, so these are the things that can happen. And maybe some things have happened to you like that. For instance, have you ever gone up to somebody and shake their hand? They give you their name. You're talking to them. And the second you break the handshake, their name kind of goes up into the wild blue yonder. You have no idea what their name is. You just talked to them and they just gave you their name. Yeah, it may not have happened to you, but you know people it's happened to, huh? Here's another one that I think a lot of people do. Ever dial someone on the telephone, and as you get that dial tone, and it's ringing, you put the telephone up to your ear, and all of a sudden, you forget who you're calling. They get on the phone, and they say hello, and you just hang up on them. Have you ever done that before? Or maybe you call them right back, and they ask you, did you just call me? No, not me. So these are the things that can happen to a lot of people. And I don't know about you, but when I was a lot younger, these things happened to me and I thought that I was going crazy. And I know a lot of people feel very incompetent because of the fact that they believe that they have terrible memories. So this program is going to show you how to get away from that. It's going to show you that you really do have an excellent memory, but all you have to do is learn to input and utilize what you already have. Now, as you go through this program, I'm going to assure you that you're going to hear things that maybe you've never heard before in your life. But all I ask you to do is to please have an open mind. In other words, what I'm encouraging you to do is to be willing to make change. And the ultimate guide to memory control is like learning a new way of thinking, and you have to be willing to make some change. Now, let me share with you briefly how they catch monkeys in Africa. And you're probably wondering, Gary, what in the world does catching monkeys in Africa have to do with my memory or this memory program? Well, you'll see in just a bit. Here's what they do. The person in Africa or the Africans, they'll take a coconut, and in the top of the coconut, they'll cut a circle. And in that circle, they'll go ahead and place some peanuts. Now, the peanuts are at the bottom of the coconut. On the outside of the coconut, the monkey catcher, what they do is they tie a string at the bottom of that coconut, and they make a knot there, and then they take the other end of the string, and they put that, maybe behind a bush or a tree where they're going to hide. So they take the coconut, and they put it out in the open. Now, when the monkey comes to the coconut, they see that the peanuts are in there. So what are they going to do? Well, obviously, they're going to put their hand in the coconut and grab all the peanuts. They're very greedy. They try to get their fist out of that coconut, and because they won't let go of those peanuts, they can't get their fist out. Now, what does the monkey catcher have to do to bring that monkey in? All it has to do is pull in the string. Now, my next question to you is, what would the monkey now have to do if it wanted to save its life or get free? Well, if you said just let go, you're absolutely right. But unfortunately, the monkey is so stubborn in its thinking, it would rather sacrifice its life than let go of those peanuts. Isn't that interesting? Well, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, many times, because we've been so conditioned by society or old thinking or TV or whatever, we believe certain things and we just don't let go. Our fist is nice and tight and we can't get our hand out of that coconut, if you will. So what I'm asking you to do is open your hand, or in this case, open your mind. Sometimes if we're willing to let go of that old thinking and allow ourselves to be reconditioned, well, there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunities that's going to be opened up for us. And today, aren't you having a new opportunity opened up for you? Because of letting go, or if you will, be willing to let go of those peanuts, you're willing to learn something new and to recondition your thinking with regards to memory. Before I go any further, I'd like to share with you in a nutshell how I got involved with the mind and then how that led me to getting involved with how the memory works. When I was 17 years of age, I had gotten married. And soon after that, my wife gave birth to a baby boy, which unfortunately was put in intensive care for over 2 weeks. And then that was just the beginning. Sometime after that, she tells me that the baby really isn't mine. Can you imagine? Then in a time frame of all this, my father was murdered, my grandfather and stepfather died of cancer, my uncle was killed in a plane crash, my grandmother died, I had $30,000 cash in the bank, I lost all that, I was put on medication, and the list goes on and on. And all this by the time I was 21 years of age. And you think you've had a hard day. But this really did a lot for me. Let me tell you why. After I experienced all these tragedies, what happened on the negative end, if you will, is I became very, very scatterbrained. I completely forgot where I put things. I mean, I literally thought I was losing it. I thought that I had to be institutionalized or maybe need some psychiatric help. It was that bad. I kid you not. But I also knew that before all these circumstances and situations and negative things happened, I was okay. So I figured that something changed, and all these experiences affected the way I thought, the stress, the whole attitude of everything. And I knew if I could learn how to control that mind again, I would be relatively normal again. So that's what I set out to do. And in setting out to do that, I also learned how memory works. And this is where I was able to develop a lot of these techniques. So enough about that. Let's keep going. Now, at this point, I would like to go over a couple of guidelines with you. The first one is that I want you to listen to this program without any distractions, if at all possible. In other words, you don't want to listen to any music or have any loud noise or distractions. Also, the best time to study this program many times is when you're relaxed. And as you relax and listen, you may also find it helpful to close your eyes. And by the way, if you're driving a car and listening to this, don't close your eyes. You can figure out the rest of the story. Now, with regards to taking notes, some of my students take notes, and I certainly recommend that, especially at my live seminars. And you may also want to do that while listening to this program, and that's fine. It's a good thing to do. But I give you a word of caution. You really cannot take detailed notes and listen to what I'm saying at the same time. So if you indeed want to take notes, here's what I recommend you do. If you find a point that for you is really strong and you want to jot it down, after you hear that point, pause the CD. Write the information down, and then unpause the CD and listen to the information again. So if you decide to take notes, I'm going to strongly recommend also that you print it instead of writing it in cursive. And here's the reason for that. When you print, your subconscious mind seems to remember the information better, whether you realize it or not. Also, you'll find when you print something, it takes a little bit more concentration, doesn't it? I mean, common sense can tell you that. And as opposed to perhaps maybe cursive, where you kind of just, you know, write something through, don't even think about it, it's simpler. Now, if you want to try that out for the fun of it, you might want to pause the CD, find a sentence, and write it down. First do it in cursive, and then print it, and you'll see the added amount of concentration you need to print. And again, like I mentioned earlier, your subconscious mind will have a tendency to remember it a little bit longer if you print. Don't forget that. Some people think life combined with a bad memory is equivalent to how some people feel about marriage. It's a sentence to be served. No, that's not true, is it? You see, we can all have excellent memories. And recall earlier that we discussed that most people believe that our natural ability for memory diminishes with age. And I'm sure you've probably heard that. In fact, you may also believe it. Most people do. But that is not true, providing, of course, that a person's brain is in normal condition. Yes, society has conditioned or programmed us to believe that, and it's not the case. Let me illustrate that even further. Let's say you have a 16-year-old young man by the name of Johnny here, and 16-year-old Johnny forgets something. Well, that's really no big deal. He's hyper or whatever. He just forgets it. But now, 60-year-old Grandpa, he forgets the exact same thing, And all of a sudden, everybody's worried. Oh, no, he's got to see a neurologist. He's getting old. Something's wrong with him. But that isn't fair, is it? Here's 16-year-old John, and he forgets the exact same thing, and it's acceptable, if you will, or it's okay. But 60-year-old grandpa also forgets the same thing, but now everybody's saying he's got a problem, or, hey, you're getting old. See, by the time that we were 16 years of age, it's been estimated that we have been told no over 140,000 times. No, you can't do this, or no, you can't do that. And one of the things that you've probably been told is you better write it down because you'll what? You'll forget it. And that is why so many people today are geared for failure with regards to memory. So what happens as we get older and we begin to forget things, we automatically start saying, well, I'm starting to forget things, so I'm getting old. And then we think and truly believe that this is a sign of old age. And then what happens is that the mind begins to shut down. And in many cases, after that, the physical body goes. And that's why there's so many people today in nursing homes. It's really sad, and it shouldn't be that way. But can't you see how devastating that can be? The truth of the matter is, our natural ability for memory loss really doesn't diminish with age. Now, I want to prove that to you. Listen to how I reason with this. The brain is made up of a number of neurotransmitters, or memory cells. And to get these memory cells working, we have to activate them with electrical impulses. And by the way, we have over 100 billion of these in our brain. And if we don't exercise our memory like a brain, the memory begins to stagnate. Now, have you ever tried to maybe, for instance, pick up a wheelbarrow? How difficult is it if it's got a lot of weight in it? Well, once you get it going, it becomes easier and easier, but picking it up can be a little bit of a challenge. And having a bad memory is pretty much the same way. Once you get this program picked up, if you will, and rolling, it's going to become easier and easier to activate those memory cells. Now, just a little while ago, I talked about how we have to get electrical impulses to these neurotransmitters or to get these memory cells working. You're probably wondering, what in the world am I talking about, Gary? All you have to do to get these electrical impulses going in your brain is simply by using it. See, you thought I was going to say to get those electrical impulses, you got to put your finger in an electrical socket, didn't you? Well, now you can put your mind at ease. And some scientists believe that the brain is like a muscle. In other words, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And other scientists disagree. I personally tend to agree with the scientists that feel that it is like a muscle. But the bottom line is, keep in mind, the memory was always back there, but by using it, we keep activating and retrieving what's in there even from the past. So we have to keep exercising it. And remember, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. When I do programs for senior citizens, many times they'll start off and they'll be a little slow, and they'll have a harder time catching on only because they're not used to using their minds and their memory as they used to when they were younger. So now many times when they're starting to slow down, they're saying, well, hey, you know, I'm getting older and now it's time to slow down the memory because I'm forgetting things anyway, so that must mean I'm getting older. It's like a domino effect. And of course, they say all this subconsciously. So at first it may be a little challenging for you, but as we have discussed earlier, we have to pick up that wheelbarrow and get it into gear. There is truth to the fact, though, as we get older, we do have some memory loss. Now, let me explain that. Some of these memory cells do begin to die, but this loss is dramatically offset by the increase in new neuroconnections. And remember how that's done. Simply by use. That's where the electrical impulses come in. By use. So once we get the stimulation and we get the memory activated, we can by hundreds of percentages offset the memory cells that have died, thus allowing our natural ability for memory to continue to grow even through our older, or like some like to say, our better years. Well, we're just about to get into the meat and potatoes. There's something else, though, that I would like to share with you before we go any further, and that's about nutrition. We're going to discuss nutrition in greater detail or length later on, but at this point, I want you to keep in mind a couple of things. Cigarettes, alcohol, white flours, and sugars suppress the memory. So what I want to suggest to you is that you stay away from these things, especially as you go into this program, if at all possible. You know, many people don't realize the damage that junk foods and chemicals do to our physical body. not to mention our brain and our memory. You know, here's something interesting that you may not be aware of. Did you realize that the brain is really made up of chemicals? And if we put certain chemicals into our body, how does the brain feed? Well, the brain feeds from the blood that's in our body. Where does the blood get the nutrition? From the things that we eat. So if we feed our body continually with junk, well, that's going to obviously affect the brain one way or the other. And did you also realize that the same chemicals that are in many of the ice creams that are on the market today contain the same chemicals that are in antifreeze, paint thinner, and turpentine? Think about that. Most people don't even know that. Did you also know that the government actually allows a certain percentage of rat hairs to be in your pepper because rats hang around pepper plants? Interesting, isn't it? There's going to be a lot more that you'll be learning, so continue with the program. And what I'm saying is, please, take care of yourself. You're valuable and you're worth a lot. Take care of your precious gift, life. Well, are you ready to get those electrical impulses going? Well, I hope you are. What I'd like you to do now is to get the book that came with your program, and I'd like you to please meet with me at page 3. Now look on page 3 in your book where you see the words tangible and intangible. Now what I'm going to do is read that paragraph to you. And if you don't have your book with you, don't worry about it. You'll still be able to get the benefit from the information. Now here's what the paragraph reads. The paragraph reads, "The words intangible and tangible are two words that you'll be learning a lot about. Let's explain their meaning. The word intangible means something that is not perceptible through touch. It is usually something that is vague or difficult for the mind to define. For example, a person's name or phone number, that is intangible. They are not perceptible through touch, and that is why we do not remember them well. Now, on the contrary, the word tangible is just the opposite. So then, tangible is something perceptible to the touch. It is usually something that's usually discernible or physical or real. Now, here's perhaps the most important sentence in this book. Don't forget it. In order to remember intangible things, thoughts, or ideas, we must turn them into something tangible or something that is real to the mind. Now, that sentence is worth repeating, and I'm going to do that again. In order to remember intangible things, thoughts, or ideas, we must turn them into something tangible or something real to the mind. So what I'm saying is, the mind is like a camera. It takes pictures and remembers more if it can actually see images or see thoughts or ideas. Now, whether you're religious or not, most people can really appreciate that Jesus Christ was an excellent teacher. He used illustrations. Illustrations make people see things in their mind. In fact, a person could be blind, if you will, and if you use good, strong illustrations, they can see or picture something in their mind. Now, they can see what you're saying. So Jesus was able to talk to people in such a way that he could actually let them feel and see the words that he was saying because he used illustrations. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be using illustrations. And basically, the more illustrations that you can use in your mind, the stronger your memory is going to be. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to page 4. A technique that we're going to use to improve our memory is what I call the numerical visual system. Now, the numerical visual system is simply an aid that we use for the mind to picture or see things. Now, recall a moment ago that we said that numbers are intangible, not that you can physically see the number 1 on a piece of paper, but just thinking about the number 1, that's intangible, and that's why we have the tendency to forget them. Can you really see the number 1? No, you can't. You can't see number 1. You can't see number 2. These are invisible. And that is why we have such a challenge trying to remember them. So the key then is what? Well, we have to turn the intangible thing, the number, if you will, into something that we can touch, something that is tangible. So what we're going to do in the numerical visual system is to turn numbers into something physical, something that we can see, feel, and touch. Now let's say for an example that someone gives us maybe 20 items they want us to remember. Well, how do we do this? we first start off with the numerical visual system. But before we can master and memorize these 20 items, we don't want to put the cart before the horse. We must first learn the numerical visual system. Once we learn that system, then we can work toward memorizing very quickly those 20 items. So let's first start off mastering this numerical visual system. Okay, chapter 2. For example, number 1, we're going to picture the number 1 as a pen, a P-E-N. Now, isn't that a lot easier for your mind to see, to actually see a physical pen as opposed to the intangible number 1? So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to picture the pen representing the number 1. Now, from here on out, every time you think of the number 1, you always want to represent it with a what? With a pen. Now, let's continue in your book. There's number 2. Number 2 is represented by a what? You see it. It's a clothes hanger. Now, I want you to take your time and I want you to see or picture the clothes hanger in your mind. Now, if you wish, you may close your eyes and visualize it. Now, one thing that I do that may help you is to actually picture a clothes hanger that's in your closet. Number 2 is a clothes hanger. Let's go to number 3. Number 3 in the numerical visual system is represented by a juggler. Why? Well, we usually picture a juggler juggling how many things? Yeah, we usually picture him juggling 3 things. So picture number 3 as being represented by a juggler. Now, here's something I'm going to have you do. I know it sounds a little crazy, but I want you to do it. I want you to actually put your hands out and pretend you're juggling. Okay, come on, do it. I want you to do it. I know it looks a little crazy. Oh, and by the way, when you do this, you want to make sure that your windows and your blinds and curtains are closed because the neighbors, if they happen to see this, they may think you're, well, a little weird. But anyway, let's have some fun with it. Now, the reason that I'm going to have you do that, go ahead, pretend you're juggling, and just maybe do that for 5 seconds or so, then you can stop. Here's why. What happens now, say, maybe later on when you get started and you start learning all this information and you start to forget one or two things. Let's say you forget number 3. And I say to you, what's number 3? It's represented by a what? And for some reason you forget. Well, now all I have to do is say, hey, why don't you stick your hands out and pretend you're doing something? And you're going to think, doing something. What am I doing? Ah, I'm juggling. Number 3 is a juggler. And what that does, by putting your hand out and making actions as you're juggling, it actually helps trigger the memory to represent and see that number 3. So number 3 is represented by a juggler. Now let's do a quick little mini review. What is the number 1 for the numerical visual system? Remember, number 1 was a what? A pen. Very good. And number 2 was represented by a clothes hanger. Excellent. Number 2 is a clothes hanger, and number 3 is represented by a juggler. Now let's go to number 4. Number 4 is represented by a pickup truck. Perhaps you can think of maybe a 4x4 or a big 4 tires on a big pickup truck. And the 4 or the 4 tires on the pickup truck help the mind to visualize that this pickup truck represents what number? Number 4. Excellent. Now, don't rush now. Take your time and see and picture it in your mind. Now, you may be saying, well, Gary, you know, this is pretty easy to represent. As you keep going, though, remember, by the time we're done with this program, you are literally going to memorize hundreds of things. So right now, I want you to build a solid foundation by taking your time. Okay, number 4 again is a pickup truck. Number 5 in the numerical visual system is represented by a nickel or a buffalo nickel. And you can picture that 5 in that nickel. See it there? Number 5 is represented by a buffalo nickel. Take your time and see it in your mind. And let's go to number 6 now. Number 6 is represented by a monkey's tail. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You can see the number 6 in the monkey's tail. And now this is a little bit crazy, but I want you to do this. I want you to reach out and pretend that you're actually holding on to that monkey's tail. And when you hold on to that monkey's tail, I want you to bring your hand all the way around as if you're doing a number 6. Okay, go ahead. I want you to do it now. I know it sounds a little crazy, but cooperate with me. Put your hand out there, grab the monkey's tail. Ah, not too tight. Don't squeeze it. And bring it around for the number 6. Very good. Number 6 is represented by a monkey's tail. Picture and see it in your mind. Okay, number 7 is next on our numerical visual system. And number 7 is represented by a giraffe. Look in your book, picture it. Number 7 is represented by a giraffe. Now you can see the 7 in the giraffe. For instance, the head would represent the first part of the 7, and the neck would be the second part or the second stroke in the number 7. Picture and see it in your mind. And sometimes when I do a seminar live, I'll have everybody stretch real tall and pet that giraffe. One part of the stroke and down the other part. Number 7, stretch the giraffe. Number 7 is a giraffe. The next number is number 8. And number 8 is represented by an octopus. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Number 8 is octopus. Now, if you scuba dive or you really like the ocean, that may be a little bit easier for you to remember than maybe somebody else. So what you need to do here is to picture the 8 arms on the octopus. Number 8 is represented in the numerical visual system by octopus. Take your time, picture, and see it in your mind. Now, the next number that we're going to represent is number 9, and that is represented by a flamingo. That's right, a flamingo. Now, can you see the 9 in the flamingo? Picture and see it in your mind. The flamingo, there's his long bill coming around, and then the neck comes around and stops, and that makes the number 9. Number 9 is flamingo. Now, our last number is number 10. Number 10. Number 10 is represented by 10 toes. They can be smelly toes, big toes, ugly toes, it doesn't matter. Number 10 is represented by 10 toes. Picture and see it in your mind. Incidentally, I use a bowling ball to represent 0. See it in your mind. A bowling ball represents 0 in the numerical visual system. Well, now it's time to do our first review. You'll see the review under Review the Numerical Visual System in your book. Now stop there just for a moment. Before I go any further, I want to tell you a brief story. Some time ago, there was a gentleman who worked at an airport, and it was his job to refuel the jets that came in. One day, though, unfortunately, he refueled a jet with the wrong fuel. Now you can imagine what happened. And after takeoff, yep, it happened. The pilot crashed the airplane. Now no one was killed, but unfortunately the airplane was crashed. Now think about it. If you were the boss or the employer of that gentleman who refueled that airplane, what would you do to him? Most people would do what? Would fire him on the spot, wouldn't they? And it would certainly be understandable, but his boss was very psychological. Well, what did he do? Well, he did reprimand him, no doubt, but he didn't fire him. Now, it was interesting as to why. You see, this gentleman also owned a jet, and any time he wanted his jet refueled, take a guess who he asked to have refuel his jet. You got it. Why? He knew he'd already made that one mistake, and he could have cost the lives of some people. And he also knew that this young man would probably never make that mistake again because it made such an impact on his mind. What's my point? Sometimes we make mistakes, and because we make a mistake, many times it makes a strong impression. Now, the same application holds true here when you do the review for the numerical visual system. If you do not remember or you happen to forget something or put the wrong answer down for that matter, I don't want you to look back. The reason for that is I want you to stretch your memory. And what this is going to do, it's actually going to cause the electrical impulses to try to connect to what you do or do not know. So keep stretching the memory and do your best to find it. If you don't remember it, go ahead and just skip over it and continue. Then again, concentrate. And if for some reason you absolutely are unable to get the answer, then and only then, as a last resort, should you look back. And you'll find, too, under your review, you'll see the word why a number of times. The why is very important. The why is a very important word to use and ask of yourself while you're using memory aids, because when you ask the word why, you're causing the mind to think and work, and that's what you want it to do. So where you see number 1 is a pen and why, I want you to answer that for number two, and so on. So you'll see number one is a pen. Why? The length of a pen makes me think of number one. And that's all I want you to do all the way through 1 through 10, and of course, last but not least, 0. Make sure you answer why, because what you're really doing is forcing your mind to think and connect the memory aid to match with the intangible number. Don't forget to do that. Stretch the mind. Okay, at this point, go ahead now and stop your tape and see how well you do. Well, that really wasn't difficult at all, was it? Well, how many did you get right? Now, don't be concerned if you got some of them wrong, because what I want you to do is to learn about solving the problem. Analyze if you did get something wrong or you did forget some of them. Analyze why. Perhaps it was because you didn't take enough time to see or visualize the memory aid in your mind. And that's very important, isn't it? Because if we rush through things and don't take enough time, we're going to forget. If you had the tendency to miss some of these, make sure you take enough time to picture and see these items or visual aids in your mind. Well, what have we just done? You're wondering, you know, Gary, this seems to be a lot of work just to be able to remember 10 things. Well, it may seem that way at first for some, but keep in mind years ago, perhaps maybe when you learned to tie your shoe, at first it was maybe challenging or difficult, wasn't it? Because it was something new to you. But now, you have no problem tying your shoe and talking to somebody at the same time. The reason is because it's in your long-term memory, which we're going to discuss in a little bit in greater detail or depth in the program. So while we have something in our long-term memory, the mind can easily recall it. So what we're trying to do is get these visual aids, the numerical visual aid system, locked into your memory. That way, when somebody says, "What's number two?" boom, you quickly go to the clothes hanger. Let's do it again in review. You ready? Number one for the numerical visual system is represented by a pen. Very good. Picture and see it in your mind. And don't look at your book, just listen along with me. And number two on the numerical visual system is represented by a clothes hanger. Excellent. Number three is represented by a, that hand's going out, it's moving, it's a juggler. Excellent. Number four is represented by the pickup truck, four tires, 4x4. Number five, buffalo nickel. Number five, buffalo nickel. Number six, monkey's tail. Feel that furry monkey's tail. Number seven was the tall giraffe. Number seven, the giraffe. Number eight was the octopus. Number nine was the flamingo. Picture and see it in your mind. Number 10 was the 10 toes. And last, zero was represented by a bowling ball. Now, what are we going to do with this information? Well, we're going to take the 10 numerical visual aids, these 10 systems that we now have, and we're going to work diligently in connecting these to something else. For instance, the next step now is to try to link the numerical visual system with 10 unrelated things. And so far in this program, you're becoming a mnemonics expert. What's the word mnemonics mean? Well, the word mnemonics is derived from the Greek language, and it basically means it's the art of improving or using memory aids. Well, what we want to do now is use the numerical visual system and use it as a tool to remember 10 un- or non-related things. So what are the 10 non-related things that we're going to work on remembering? Well, here they are. If you go with me now to page 10, we're going to remember the 10 plagues that God put on Pharaoh thousands of years ago. So let's review these 10 plagues. Number one, water was turned into blood. Number two, frogs were in the entire city. Number three, gnats infested the area. Number four, then flies infested the area. Number five, the people's livestock died. Number six, the people were plagued with boils and sores. Number seven, the people experienced a hailstorm. Number eight, locusts swarmed the city. Number nine, they had 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness. And number 10, the firstborn of man and animals died. Now, if I asked you real quickly to give me all 10 of those, would you be able to remember them very quickly? The chances of you doing that are probably going to be very slim. But by using mnemonic techniques, in this case, the numerical visual system, you are going to be able to put these 10 plagues together with the system that we just went over, and bam, 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 right away you'll be able to recall them. If I say to you, what's the seventh plague? You'll immediately know what it is. If I said to you, what was the first plague, or the 10th plague, or the 9th plague? You'll be able to recall them immediately, just like that. We're now going to put the 10 visual aid systems with our 10 plagues. Now, just for the sake of review, let's go over the 10 numerical visual aids that we used earlier, okay? Make sure we have them really down pat. Number one was a pen. Number two was a what? A clothes hanger, excellent. Number three was represented by the juggler. Remember, stick that hand out there. It's moving, doing something, juggling. Number four is represented by the pickup truck. 4x4, four tires. Number five is represented by the buffalo nickel. Number six is represented by the monkey's tail. Number seven, think about that, what? Oh, you got to stretch to pet it, the giraffe. Number eight, octopus, very good. Number nine was a what? See it, picture it in your mind, was a flamingo. And number 10 was represented by 10 toes. Remember the smelly toes, big toes, whatever toes. Okay, let's begin. Now, we had just discussed that number one was a pen. So what we're going to do now, we've got to tie or connect the number pen together with the first plague. And what was our first plague? The first plague was water was turned into blood. Now here's where we have to get really creative. If you look at the picture there in your book on page 10, you see the drawing. Water turned into blood. So you can picture maybe the pen as being a needle in blood, or you squirt the pen and blood comes out. I know it's a little gross and a little crazy, but do you see and picture it in your mind? Absolutely. So if I said to you, what was the first plague? All you have to do is, you know, number one is automatically a what? A pen. And you connect the pen with this crazy little picture with blood, and you'll know that the first plague was turning water into blood. You'll just know water to blood. You just think of pen, blood, oh, water turning into blood. So if I said to you, what was the first plague? God turned water into blood. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's go now to number two. Number two, what is the second numerical visual aid for number two? It was a clothes hanger. See the number two? The number two was a clothes hanger. What was the second plague in our book? The second plague? Frogs were in the entire city. Now what we have to do is combine these two. We have the numerical visual aid for the number two, and that was the clothes hanger. The second plague were the frogs. So how are we going to combine these? Well, first picture opening your closet door, and what do you see in there? You see a bunch of frogs. And what are they doing with your clothes hanger? They're doing pull-ups. There they are. See it? Picture it in your mind. They're sweating and moaning and groaning. The number two visual aid was the clothes hanger, and frogs are the second plague. Picture and see it in your mind. Now if I said to you, what was the first plague? You would know to immediately, first of all, go to the number one, and what it represented was the pen, and then connect the pen with what? The first plague, it was blood, water into blood. What was the second plague? If you know right away, it's frogs. If you don't, you just stop and think, okay, number two is represented by a clothes hanger. What's connected to the clothes hanger? Ah, the frogs are doing pull-ups. Isn't that interesting how this works? I know it sounds really crazy at times, doesn't it? But you'll find the funnier, the crazier you hear or experience things in life, usually the more we remember them, do we not? And that is what we're going to be doing here. We're going to do things that are a little funny, a little crazy and absurd, maybe unusual to the mind. But what that will do, it will force us to remember. And we're going to explain that in greater detail in our next chapter.